or give the presentation relative to this particular project, because it's a big part of or a portion of his master's research. But before I do that, I just want to acknowledge several people that were key contributors to this project, and I think you'll find the results interesting, because to us it's raised a whole series of questions, in part related to the use of sex semen, but in part as well related to sire fertility and timed AI programs. I think the point that was made relative to the advancements that we've made across the industry, especially with beef, in terms of protocol development, that now really have changed the playing field relative to opportunities to increase the use of AI in the U.S. cow herd, not just with heifers, but with cows as well, based on the results that we're seeing and groups across the country are seeing relative to success rates with fixed-time AI, whether they are cows or heifers. We got involved with this effort largely because of some strong encouragement and push from Stan Locke, who is the large beef coordinator for beef herd coordinator, development coordinator for Gen X, who really pushed us in the direction of, if we're going to increase, now that we have protocols that facilitate use of fixed time AI, can we create scenarios or develop management strategies that will more readily expand the use of sex semen in the industry? And I think this is timely given where we're at relative to the U.S. cow herd and the decrease in numbers that we see and the need to rebuild numbers once the drought around the country subsides. But Stan and his group has been involved with a lot of the work that we've been involved with over the last several years. Stan, in particular, was very involved with the development with us with the 14-day cedar protocol for heifers. In addition to that, as Jordan presents the results tonight, Heath Kohler, and I'd like Stan and Heath to both stand back there if they would, but Heath is the general manager for Radcliffe Ranches and has had a real interest. This is the second project that we've done collaboratively with that particular operation, and they've just been tremendous collaborators in terms of helping us dig deeper into this. And the other person that I want to acknowledge that's at that table, I believe, is Jerry Jones with Estratech. And you'll see what role that company has played relative to the data that Jordan's going to present. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jordan. Jordan is currently working on a master's in my lab in reproductive physiology at the University of Missouri.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk today. I know it's not very often that graduate students get a chance to talk at these things, so I hope I don't prove that that was a good idea. But I just want to present the results from this field trial that we did. And we were looking at delayed insemination, specifically of non-estrous cows, in a timed artificial insemination program when using sex semen. So I just want to briefly go over some of the challenges that are associated with sex-sorted semen. We've talked a lot about the opportunities, but from a physiological standpoint, sex-sorted semen just generally is characterized by lower fertility because there's a lower overall sperm cell number per dose, and also because sperm's quality is compromised to a degree by the cell sorting process. So as a result, we say that sex-sorted semen appears to have lower overall fertility and or a shorter fertile lifespan in the female reproductive tract. So sex-sorted semen, as we've talked about, is already used fairly widely in the dairy industry. But the challenge in the beef industry is really that of perceived cost. So for producers, you have a higher cost per dose, and then this higher cost is compounded by the lower fertility to that dose, so you have a high cost per AI pregnancy. And then there's also an opportunity cost for not having maximized first service AI pregnancies, and arguably that is the biggest cost. So there's a high perceived cost, and then there's also the labor and time that are associated with heat detection. Currently, at least up until this point, the use of sex-sorted semen in timed artificial insemination programs has been discouraged because of low pregnancy rates. In the dairy industry, it's fairly easy to use heat detection because that's more or less the structure of the industry. But in the beef world, where timed AI is more and more of a major player, the need to heat detect with sex-sorted semen is a big challenge, and that's something we really are intending to address. So in spite of the many potential applications for sex-sorted semen in the beef industry, it's really our opinion that we won't see widespread use of this technology until we have good timed artificial insemination protocols that will yield acceptably high pregnancy rates. So in, I think, late 2011, a previous research effort was conducted between our group at the university and also Gen X, and the Ratcliffe Ranch of Oneida, Oklahoma. And this was intended to evaluate this idea of maybe extending the interval from prostaglandin to AI by 6 hours for cows, or excuse me, for heifers, and 8 hours for cows when using sex-sorted semen. And in this particular study, the extended interval was not found to be advantageous for cows. But it raised some interesting questions, because we had put Estrotec patches on the cattle at the time of prostaglandin to then record estrus expression at the time of AI. And it really raised some interesting questions. If you're not familiar with Estrotec patches, they look like this. You're welcome, Estrotec, for putting this on the slide. But as you can see, there's the orange patches on the back of the tail head of these cattle, and there's also a gray one here on the back of this lighter-colored female. And as you can see, when the female is mounted, the more or less the scratch-off coating wears off this patch, and the bright color underneath shows through, and it's an indication that she's expressed standing heat. And these are the results for that study. You have here we have conventional semen in this first column here, and then sex-sorted semen at the standard time, and then this experimental group of sex-sorted semen at a delayed time. And as you can see, the sex-sorted semen at the delayed time was actually numerically lower, so not typically encouraging results from an experimental standpoint. But at the same time, the real interesting part was when we begin to look at the pregnancy rates of non-estrous cattle. In other words, those cattle that are undergoing a timed artificial insemination, but they come through the chute having a non-activated Estrotec patch, so they have not expressed estrus prior to timed AI. And as you can see, with conventional semen, you actually get a fairly acceptable pregnancy rate for these non-estrous cattle. And in this particular set of data, it's relatively comparable to the conventional. But when you look at the sex-sorted semen, pregnancy rates for these non-estrous cattle drop off. And that was true across these treatments. So there's really a challenge when you're using sex-sorted semen of achieving acceptable timed AI pregnancy rates among the cattle that do not express estrus prior to timed AI. So it's dragging the rates down. And I think it's important to understand that really there are two physiologically different groups in a timed artificial insemination protocol. You have cows that have expressed estrus prior to timed AI, and these cows are ovulating in response to their endogenous surge of luteinizing hormone that's occurring around the onset of estrus. And ovulation then is occurring 28 to 30 hours after the onset of estrus in these cattle. And again, these cattle are expressing estrus prior to timed AI. But then you have another group, which is the cattle that are coming through with a non-activated heat patch. In other words, they're coming through and they have not expressed estrus prior to timed AI. And these cattle are induced to ovulate in response to the GnRH administration that's part of a timed AI protocol. So ovulation in this set of cattle is occurring approximately 28 to 30 hours after the GnRH administration. And if you could sort of imagine a distribution then, you have one distribution that occurs relatively early in terms of ovulation times, which is those cattle that are experiencing an endogenous surge of LH. And then you have a later time, which is the cattle that are being induced to ovulate. So when using sex-sorted semen, I think it raises the question of whether sperm cells are retaining full fertility for this 28 to 30-hour window. In other words, if you inseminate at the time that you administer GnRH to induce ovulation, does that sex-sorted semen, having gone through a flow cytometric process to sort the sperm, does it have the sperm quality, the sperm longevity to maintain full fertility for that time? And certainly these results would suggest that maybe it does not. We need to better manage these non-estrous cattle. So one potential solution that might allow for the utilization of sex-sorted semen in a timed AI protocol would be to inseminate the cows that express estrus with the sex-sorted semen, but then to inseminate the cattle that have not expressed estrus with conventional semen, because we would achieve relatively decent pregnancy rates on these non-estrous cattle that way. And you would also have a cheaper cost per dose. And that's one potential strategy you could use. But obviously, although this is an economical compromise, you don't achieve the same ratio of gender skewing. You don't achieve the nearly the degree of gender ratio skewing that could be achieved if you can utilize sex-sorted semen on the whole herd. So we developed this idea, and this is the trial that we'll be presenting today. And the aim was really to come up with a strategy that would optimize the use of sex-sorted semen in timed AI protocols By better managing cows that have not expressed estrus prior to that time to die, which in this protocol is at 66 hours, and with the idea that delayed insemination of non-estrus cows by 20 hours after GnRH would improve fertility by better aligning this window of optimum sperm fertility with the timing of induced ovulation. So 656 cows from the Ratcliffe Ranch underwent estrus synchronization, and this was on the 7-day co-sync plus cedar. And EstroTech heat detection patches were applied at cedar removal and prostaglandin, like I mentioned earlier. And then we assigned cows to one of three treatments, and these were balanced for age and body condition score. So treatment one would be all conventional, in other words, a non-sex-sorted semen product, with GnRH and AI at 66 hours regardless of estrus expression. So as we record estrus expression, but we manage all the cows the same way. In treatment two, it's really the same approach, but all using sex-sorted semen. So a straight timed AI situation, but all with sex-sorted semen. And then treatment three is really the crux of the experiment, which is to utilize sex-sorted semen with GnRH at 66 hours, but then to split the time of AI based on estrus expression. So cattle that come through the chute with an activated EstroTech patch receive AI at the time of GnRH, at that 66-hour time point. But cows that come through with a non-activated patch receive AI 20 hours after the GnRH. In other words, they get an injection of GnRH, but they pass through without being inseminated and are sorted off and kept for 20 hours, so inseminated the following morning. So just to display this graphically, if you're used to looking at protocols like I am, this is a standard 7-day co-sync plus cedar, and this is how all the treatment one and all the treatment two cows and the estrus cows of treatment three are managed. But then we make a modification for the non-estrus cows of treatment three. So they come through, receive GnRH, but then AI is delayed by 20 hours. So treatments are equally represented across five groups, locations, and 3 days of AI. As I mentioned, it was balanced for cow age and body condition score. AI was performed by a single technician, so good job, Stan, for making it through all of that. But a single sire was also used for both sex-sorted and the conventional semen. And then it was statistical analysis, as noted. And here are the results. So in this first column, we have the conventional semen at 66 hours. In the second column, we have treatment 2, which is sex-sorted semen and timed AI at 66 hours. And then treatment 3, which is sex-sorted semen at 66 hours with a delay for the non-estrus. As you can see at the bottom, the estrus response across treatments was very comparable. And these are actually the kinds of typical estrus responses that we would see up to that point of time to AI, which is about 50% expressing estrus. The thing that we noted was a treatment by estrus expression interaction. That's a statistical way of saying that when you use one type of semen product, you get an interaction based on the estrus expression of the cattle. So if you look at conventional semen for estrus, we got 77% to conceive to timed AI if they had expressed estrus prior to that timed AI. If you look at sex-sorted semen for the same set of cattle, we achieved a 51% pregnancy rate. And then sex-sorted semen with the delay, these are actually the same treatment since there's no delay of the estrus cattle. So you could average 51 and 42. They're managed the same way. And there's no difference between those. But when we look at the non-estrus cattle that are inseminated with sex-sorted semen at the standard time, it really illustrates the challenge of using sex-sorted semen in the timed AI protocol, which is that we got 2% of those cattle to conceive to timed AI with sex-sorted semen, of these non-estrus cattle. Again, it raises the question of whether there's a sperm longevity issue going on after the sorting process. By delaying insemination to now 20 hours after GnRH, we actually improve that to 36%. And you might say, well, 36% sounds very poor. Those are not numbers that we're going to get excited about. But I would actually kind of make this point, which is if you look at your pregnancy rate to conventional semen at 66 hours for non-estrus cattle, we only got 37%. Non-estrus cattle are always going to achieve lower pregnancy rates in these types of situations. But we actually got comparable pregnancy rates by using sex-sorted semen with delayed insemination. So I mentioned that strategy of utilizing sex-sorted semen only on the estrus cows and then a conventional semen on the non-estrus cows as a potential compromise. This would actually suggest that you could achieve very comparable pregnancy rates by using sex-sorted semen with delayed insemination for these non-estrus cattle. And then if we look at overall pregnancy rates, here at the bottom, we see that we increase pregnancy rates to when using sex-sorted semen at time to egg quite substantially from treatment 2 to treatment 3. And here it is broken down by groups or locations, and I won't try to go through all of this, but I do just want to highlight something, and that's if you look within each of these groups and locations, we see the same trend. It really held true across groups and locations, where you have delayed insemination now going from 3% to 41%, 7% to 23%, 0 to 33%, 0 to 45%, and 12 to 30%. So just in conclusion, when using sex-sorted semen in standard fixed-time AI, pregnancy rates are low for cows that have not expressed estrus prior to timed AI. And this has been the basis for the previous recommendation that sex-sorted semen just shouldn't be used in timed AI. But we've demonstrated that delayed insemination of non-estrus cows by 20 hours after GnRH can actually improve pregnancy rates when using sex-sorted semen. And we observed a 34% increase from 2 to 36% in pregnancy rates of these non-estrus cattle. So we really feel like this is opening a door now for expanded use of sex-sorted semen in timed AI protocols, and that really has a lot of potential to change some things in the beef industry. So, again, another interesting point being that among non-estrus cows, pregnancy rates achieved with delayed insemination of sex-sorted semen were actually comparable to rates achieved using conventional semen at the standard time. So with that, I'd just like to acknowledge everyone at GenX that supported this trial, especially Stan Locke, who did a lot of all of the breeding and a lot of the upfront work, and then, of course, everyone at the Ratcliffe Ranch. I enjoyed working with them so much, and the good folks at Estratech, and of course Sex and Technologies, and product support from Zoetis, which is formerly Pfizer. Dr. George Seidel from Colorado State provided a lot of guidance in terms of designing this trial, and also everyone at the University of Missouri, of course Dr. Patterson, and Dr. Scott Polk, who did all the preg checks from the vet school, and Dr. Mike Smith, and a couple undergraduates, Michael Schieffer and Laura Mooney, who came to the Ratcliffe Ranch and helped out. So certainly want to thank all those people, and I think Doc has a few extra slides.
Thanks, Jordan. Most of you know we have the Applied Reproductive Strategies workshops around the U.S., and our task force, there's a couple of members of that group that are here this evening. But a lot of us field questions from all over the U.S. relative to beef synchronization programs, and arguably, probably the first question we'll get is which protocol would you use? And the second question is often followed by which bull would you use? And so those two questions really open the door to, I think, a whole series of opportunities relative to expanded use of AI in the beef industry. And to give you an idea of some of the things that we're beginning to work on, many of you know we have a large on-farm heifer development and marketing program in Missouri called the Show Me Select program. Our producers wanted to begin tracking that information, and so our database that's been developed, we're actually beginning to look at that. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this slide, but these, over the last couple of years, we've tracked data on about a little under 10,000 heifers, actually about 8,500 heifers that were time-bred. These are the variation that we see in the top 12 bulls that have been used in the program to date. And our livestock specialists, we've got a number of them here in attendance tonight. They're very key contributors in terms of tracking this data. But I think over time, we had a committee meeting this afternoon with NAAB, and I think that's the sort of thing that raises a lot of questions as to how we can better analyze that data and use it for the betterment of the industry. The point that Jordan made, I want to follow with and more or less leave for questions and thoughts after this symposium. But raising the question relative to heat expression and the importance of it in timed AI protocols, whether it's sex semen or conventional, really opened up some questions for us in terms of our own program relative to retrospectively looking at data that we've collected over the past number of years from published work in protocol development and evaluation. And so I pulled data from three of my graduate students' data sets. and looked at what occurred, and this is actually, these are all published in the Journal of Animal Science, and we've got one that's in, that's pending. But you can see from this slide that heat is a big deal, okay? If you look at the pregnancy rates, sum those pregnancy rates, and all these cows were appointment bred at the respective times, but they were all on heat watch. So we knew at the time those cows were inseminated at the appointed time whether they had actually expressed heat or not. And you can see that the fertility on those cows in terms of the pregnancy rates to timed AI was exceptional for the cows that expressed heat. 72% of those that expressed heat became pregnant to the appointment breeding, versus 49% of the cows that didn't. I don't want to diminish that the significance of that result in itself, because 10, 15 years ago, to get those sorts of results in timed AI breeding programs probably would, I mean, people would have thought you were probably smoking something. But essentially, the question that was raised relative to this whole project is, can we bump that? Can we improve results with this concept? And so what we did was we dug deeper into those data sets, and these are the bulls that were used in those respective projects. And all this is published in the Journal of Animal Science, but we looked at it with respect to bull. We never took it to that next step to see whether or not there were differences among those bulls relative to how they were performing in those time programs with respect to heat expression of the females they were bred to. And look at the variation that you see there. So the question that this raises for us is, could this whole concept of heat be used as somewhat of a bioassay for use of bulls in timed AI programs, with the idea that we don't cast away bulls that don't necessarily perform, but with a series of experiments, hopefully identify opportunities to increase outcomes for all bulls with some modification in some of these protocols or breeding schemes. So this spring, Jordan has taken on an additional very large field trial, series of field trials, to complement what he's done on the sex semen side. But he has data, is in the process of collecting data on a little over 1,000 heifers and a little over 1,000 cows, using conventional semen with this idea in mind. Half the cattle will be inseminated by appointment. Irrespective of heat, the second treatment will evaluate fertility based on this split-time AI concept to see how things turn out. So with that, I'd conclude, and I guess we'll take questions later. So thank you.